Welcome, everybody, to the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast, where a dream is what you make it, but you'll never make it
without a dream.
That is correct, sir. As usual, I got my man Marwan to the side.
What up?
And we know the Dream Warriors are in the building. That's the team back here, and you listening or watching. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for tuning in again. We know we wouldn't be here without you, man, and we know why you're here. It's to help make your dreams a reality. You want to talk to people who've kind of been through the mud. They got scars, they got scrapes, they got contusions, but they kept it moving at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And we got a special guest in the house today.
Very special guest.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody who you might not recognize, but you know you've heard before. You know what I'm saying? My man Perion Pinedo Prince is in the house today.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
Yeah. Perion Prince in the house today, man. Thank you for coming through.
Most staff. Yo. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem, man. Not a problem, bro. Like, I want to talk to a lot of I'm just going in my head what I want to talk about, because we know you've been through the mud, man. You started off, well, I'm not going to tell, I'm going to let you tell your story, but your come up has been kind of real, man. That's the first thing I said to you. I'm like, the come up is real, sir. Yeah. I've seen what you've come from and what you're doing right now. So why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so let me just take it back a bit. So I migrated from Jamaica in 2006, right? Came here for school. And this is going to shock a lot of people. When I came up for school, I was doing environmental science. Nothing in media. Because
Did you go like this? Like, close your eyes and just pick a class? Or is that what you wanted
to
do?
Just give me the citizenship? I don't care. I don't care.
No.
Yeah. You're like, oh my God, environmental scientists from Jamaica. We need that.
Hire him.
Yeah, so... the thing is, when I was in high school back home, like, I loved the sciences. I did geography and stuff. And my mom was like, yo, maybe you should be a meteorologist. My grandma latched onto that dream as well. Right. And then now I felt stuck. Like, I had to live up to that. So when we're coming, and I said we, because my wife came up as well. We came up as couples out of high school. And she just called me one day and she's like, yo, I'm going to apply for school. I'm like, okay, cool. She did the thing based on what she knew I was doing in high school at the time. I got accepted for Centennial College to do environmental protection. Went there for a year and a half. I'm like, bruh, it's not me, man.
It's not you.
No, it's not me.
You did a whole year and a half.
Yeah.
So you tried. You went to it. Okay, all right.
You know, so I'm like, all right, cool. Let me take a step back. So I took some time off. Then my mom passed. And that just kind of switched things up a bit. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just figure things out. I took a breather.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, cool.
We know how that goes, man. Right? Because I say, you know, we've all, unfortunately, probably lost somebody special in our lives, you know? And as much hurt and anguish and pain as that can be, the one thing I always take from it is that it puts your life into so much more of a perspective.
Most definitely.
It makes things that aren't a priority so far back in your brain, and make things that are priority right to the front, yo. Yeah. And if you were unwavering about certain things, you're probably not at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it changes you.
Yeah, man. So I was just sitting back. I'm like, yo, what do I enjoy doing without even thinking? And I remember when I was back home, my first ever paycheck, I bought a camera, right? And I'm like, let me look to see what's available out there where I can get back into even camera works and just see what's happening.
Right.
So I applied for the digital media arts program at Seneca. I got through, right? Dope. What I didn't know was that that course had everything to do with media. So I was doing photography, I was doing video, audio editing, everything, right? Even web design, I hated that course. But
you're out there, I'm gonna be the most talented meteorologist out there.
Right. So then I was done. I got an internship with this special effects company. I have play fight or whatever. I think they're called play fight. They work on a few of the Marvel movies, so they're like a big deal, right? But I was the only black dude there.
Okay,
right?
All right.
So it was kind of weird. And then
how so? What do you mean?
Because I remember this one event happened, and something went missing.
Okay. Right?
And I was nowhere near whatever they're looking for.
Of course you were.
Right? And the only person they were looking to for answer was me.
Yeah, they saw the cloud with rain on top of you, bro.
So I'm like, bro, I don't even know what you're looking for. Like, what the hell? Yeah. You know, and then they end up finding it, and literally the boss just misplaced the thing. Right? And I'm like, yo. So then I'm like, you know what, man? So I applied for an internship with G987, and the only thing they had open at the time was for a graphic designer. It's my least favorite thing to do, and I'm like, yo, I just need to get in. Yeah. Right, that's it. Once I get in, I'll figure it out and show what I can do.
Good for you.
So I got in. I realized that they had video stuff that needed editing, podcasts that needed editing, so I started doing that.
Right.
So I'm saying, and then Specs was doing a morning show with Mark and Jem doing being the producer, and there was like little talk saying that, yo, there's something moving, some movements happening, should get myself in line.
In there.
Right? So Specs kind of just pulled me under his wings, started showing me how to do the boards and stuff like that.
So what kind of relationship did you have with Specs before that?
None.
Zero.
Yeah.
He just said, this is my guy right here.
Just that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then, so it happened that they were kind of rebranding the station, and he got his own show. So he had to move from the morning show.
Yeah.
And I just slide into the position as the morning show producer.
And let me just give some context. If y'all don't know about Specs, maybe you're not from the city or you listen to the show from somewhere else. Specs is the guy when it comes to radio, when it comes to reggae, dancehall. Just as an MC in general, he's been wowing the people from that culture for decades now, man. And he, to me, is one of the flagship radio personalities, DJs. If you've ever been to a Specs party, you know you're gonna wild out. So he started from scratch level for me.
He makes me want to bust the bubble every time.
Yeah, he's the guy. So that's big. Yeah. That's big.
Yeah, so one thing led to the next. I started going in just for training and stuff. And then Mark Strong was like, all right, cool. If you're going to be a part of the morning show, you need to learn like the culture of the show.
Right.
You know, so he started showing me like how they put together their sound bites and stuff like that to the things that make Mark and Jem.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So then I just slid into the role. It wasn't easy, right? Because then you're now doing the producing for two of the best in the city.
Yeah. Those are another two, right? The morning show with Mark and Jem.
Exactly.
But not only are they one of the top when it comes to the morning show in the city, but they're also my good friends. I know how they move, yo. Yeah. You know, so I know it's a big deal and how revered they are in the city as well. So
exactly, and for
that's
me,
it's gotta be a lot.
When I was walking into that morning show, I remember I was driving to school, listening to them, going whatever,
of
right?
Course.
Like, and now I'm like, yo, I'm not producing their show. That's massive,
mind blowing, right there.
So the whole city is growing up to Mark and Jem.
Exactly,
man. So that's a big deal, for
you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So then we just started doing our thing. I started traveling with them when they'd go overseas and stuff like that, where we assist with booking their interviews, getting the promos for the show. I started shooting their videos as well. So I was doing like double duty. So sometimes I'll be like, all right, cool. I'm on the boards. We ain't got nobody to do our video. So I'm running from the boards to get to the camera and whatever to do the video. And it, you know, we just make it work. You know, and that's when they're like, yo, they're going to make me a part of the show, so I started speaking more on air, and then maybe I should let you bring that up, but then that's where the whole Pinedo thing came into play,
right? Yeah, because I remember, I mean, you know, I listened to the show, and it's always been, you know, a Mark and Jem thing, right? And then, you know, you have the mixes throughout the morning mixes and everything like that, but then you start hearing a third voice involved in here. I'm like, who is this you? And they're calling Pinedo, and you know, they're always asking for your opinion on certain things.
It's always far left, way out of bounds all the time.
What's going on? And they're like, what, Pinedo?
Yeah.
So
the Pinedo thing came into play because Specs, again, I sent you guys a cartoon. So you saw what Pinedo was, right? So if you know me, you know I never wear baggy jeans or anything, right? So the first time I walked into the G987 studio, like, I was wearing this brown, real skinny jeans, right? And so Speck saw me and he's like, "Oh, that Pinedo." So me being so naive, I thought he could have pronounced my name, Perion.
Right.
So I just left it alone. Mm-hmm. And then Mark was like, "Pinedo." And I'm like, "What the hell?" Then they showed me the card.
Video.
I'm like, holy smokes. Thankfully, I'm not bleaching or anything, so the bleaching part doesn't go for me.
They have to see this video, man. I just saw this for the first time, but I'm late to the party because there's so many views on this thing.
Yeah,
you know? And we're going to leave the link so you can understand where the Pinedo name came from. Yeah. But it's him. I thought it was you, bro.
No. It that's where it came from.
I really thought it was you. I thought you did the voice. Yo.
Just look up Back to School. Time in Jamaica.
Yeah, on YouTube. You know. So then from there, you know, now I'm at CBC. I'm the senior producer for The Block, which we'll get into later. And so on. So just
and
from
you kept moving up from interning.
Yeah.
So we're talking intern, right?
Yeah,
like No pay, nothing. Just taking a chance.
Yeah.
Getting out of school.
Mind you, when I started as an intern, I just had my first kid. You know what I'm saying? So I was going to work every day. Early, get there 9 o'clock, leaving there. I'm supposed to do 5 hours now. I'm leaving there like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Right.
Sometimes even 8. Because I remember the first time I shot an interview, it was on Lynx's show. Mm. And it was in the evening with Marshall Montano.
Right.
And I had to wait there until like 7:30 that evening.
Because Marshall's never on time.
Exactly. Right?
I'm never on time for that.
So he walked in and whatever, and I did that interview, and I still wasn't getting paid for them times.
Right.
We're going downtown for, I'm pretty sure you remember when they used to do like the concert series at Hard Rock. Some of the kids probably don't even know where Hard Rock is to be in Toronto right now, but that's at Dundas Square.
Classic.
Right, you know, and I used to go there, so I'd leave work, doing the intern thing, go downtown to do the event.
Wow.
Not driving, no pay, not driving, right? And I'm leaving.
Just had a youth. Sir, I would like to shake your hand, okay? Because that takes some big balls to do something like that.
But
man.
Because I know what I wanted, you see what I'm saying?
Facts.
And it takes sacrifice to get to the place that you want to be in life, right?
I agree.
Sacrifice where you don't have to sell your soul, but... You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I agree with that too. But you know, it's a scary feeling to be going through all of that and not knowing what the future holds, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to school, okay, if I do well, I can get a job, you know. But you know, going into a field that you're passionate about, but don't know exactly how the outcome is going to be, mm-hmm. and not knowing that I'm not getting paid right now. So at any point, this could end for me, and I have nothing to show for it. But to still take that chance, especially when kids are involved, is a big deal, man. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of heart, takes a lot of guts, takes a lot of passion. So I respect it. 1,000%.
Yeah, sir.
I respect it.
And some of us are still trying to figure out what we want to do, man. So for you to figure that out early and like dedicate yourself speaks volumes, you know?
Yes, man.
I agree. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about that for a little bit. Just for a second, passion, right?
Yeah.
Because like you said, there's a lot of people out there who still don't know what it is they're looking for in life. You know, they haven't found that. Mm-hmm. So what is passion to you?
So I think for me, because I first of all, most of my life I spent it in Jamaica. Like my first half of my life was in Jamaica. My mom didn't have a lot.
Right.
So I grew up knowing that whatever life, and as much as she didn't have a lot, she made sure that we were able to do what we need to do, right? And I always use this story because my mom couldn't read, right? But even though she couldn't read, she made sure that we were able to read, right? So whatever book she needed for us to get, we had that book. You know what I mean? So for me, my entire life, I wanted to make sure that I'm not repeating that kind of lifestyle. My kids won't live the same way that I lived growing up or whatever. You know what I mean? I had to change that. So once I was locked in, I know that, okay, cool, that's what I wanted to do. I'm like, okay, cool. What am I going to have to do to get there? Right, okay, cool. That's the avenue, or maybe that way. All right, whatever it takes to get there, I'm going to do it.
You're going
to
do it.
Were you raised by a single mom?
Yes.
And so you lost your mom early in life?
I lost my mom like about 2 years after I migrated to Canada.
Okay, so you were young, man.
Yeah.
You were very young.
So I was about 18.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you come from a big family?
A big Jamaican family.
A big Jamaican family.
Laughing too.
Yes.
Dwayne family.
Are you related to Dwayne?
It's possible.
You
it's
might
possible.
Be a cousin.
So do you have a lot of siblings and stuff?
Yeah, I I have, I think, 14 siblings.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Big family.
Yeah.
Big
so,
family.
Big
and family. Did, were you the only one that came out here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because even right now, between myself and my wife, that's it. I have no other family here.
And you guys are that's high school cool. sweethearts, you said?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
So that's yeah. That's your partner in crime, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay,
yes.
So you guys came out here together.
Yeah.
Did like, is it because she applied for the school you were saying? That's it?
That's another thing. I never had an intention to live in Jamaica.
Okay.
When I was a kid.
You
I
wanted to get
on.
Out.
Allegedly. Allegedly. He's all right, yo. Don't get him.
People sure no, I love, no, listen, I love Jamaica, but I just knew that I didn't want to stay there.
Right.
Right. So then I met this girl, Tanish.
Oh, and, shout out to Tanish.
Yeah, shout out to Tanish. You know what I mean? And then she's like...
Yeah,
big up Tanish. It's not Tanisha.
No, it's not Tanish. Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So she had the same mindset. Mm. We were originally supposed to go to New York. Mm-hmm. Right. But then things changed and we ended up coming to Canada.
Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto.
Yeah. You know did I mean? You expect the cold?
Not at
no?
all.
Yeah,
yeah. Not at all, bro. Like my first winter I cried and I called my mom. I called my mom like, yo, this ain't life. I need to come back home, yeah, yo. Like, yeah. No, I can't do this.
I said, this you ain't know? Life.
No.
That's
dope,
so you came from humble beginnings.
Yes.
And that's why you wanted a better life.
Pretty much.
And that's
you know?
Why you want a better life for your kids.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, like I my son and my daughter, they shouldn't have to go through the same thing I go through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I go as hard as I do, mm-hmm. because for me, it's about creating change in the generation, mm-hmm. right? Because if we're coming up and we went through something, our kids having to go through the same thing, yeah. what do we really learn on this journey?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's good, man. That's what it's about, is your legacy and how
exactly.
how you advance it. Are they your biggest motivation, you would
definitely,
say?
Definitely, especially my son. Love my daughter, but my son, he pushes me really, really, really hard.
Who's older? Yeah.
He is older.
He's older.
He is
yeah.
older? Yo, yeah. don't watch out. What's your daughter's name?
It's Zoe.
Yo, Zoe, don't be watching this on YouTube anytime soon. She's going to use this as evidence.
Sure, right? Right? Right?
Zoe, she's going to be the superstar, though.
Yeah?
Right, right. Yeah, she's in the arts
okay.
and stuff. She models and she dances.
Okay,
right? Yeah.
Okay,
so,
that's awesome, man.
I can see her... taking the same route, he's yeah. going to be the book nerd
yeah.
doing this thing.
And he's the one who pushes you,
yeah.
you said a lot.
Yeah.
That's amazing, bro. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
I want to talk about, you know, your story's great.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just tip of the iceberg, but what about some of the bad times? Because this is DDHD right here, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk about how those times when you didn't know what was going on,
yeah,
as
yeah.
a, you know, when you didn't know where the next paycheck was coming from, you know, maybe Tanish is mad at you that day you didn't bring home the right sawfish or something. I don't know. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny you said because I think you mentioned her, so I'm just gonna use this. I'm just to give her a little props, right? Because mm-hmm. for me, during that time when I went back to school mm-hmm. to do media. She was working full time. I was in school full time.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not once did she ever complain or say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And she had the baby.
Yeah.
I'm doing this free work for months.
Mm-hmm.
She still never complained.
Wow.
She never called you a waste man once.
Never called me a waste
wow.
man.
Wow.
Then you married that, yo. Then you have to marry
that's
that.
That's what I'm
yo.
Saying.
That's definitely a wifey material right there.
You know, so
right?
Facts, yo.
And they hold you down, you know? Man.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a ride or die right there.
Yeah.
And not to cut you, man, but it kind of feels like a rare breed nowadays, yo.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole world of social media and everything that's going on right now, we're always looking at a grass is greener type
mm-hmm.
of vibe. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's always something better out there and stuff.
Yeah.
So you are a testament as to holding it down with somebody and each other helping each other
yeah.
out. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? And sometimes...
Yeah.
You're going to be on the short side of the stick, and sometimes it's going to be vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
when you have a relationship, you have to understand that it's not for tomorrow. It's
yeah.
for life, or
yeah,
it's for
yeah.
how long it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know? So
yo, does Tanish have any sisters or cousins?
She has a sister, but she's way too young for anybody in this room.
I'm not trying to go to jail.
No, let's not do that.
Yeah, but
we're not in the
middle. That's amazing, man. That's amazing.
Yeah, I would say probably the biggest struggle... probably would be during that time when I was doing the internship because, as again,
mm-hmm.
we just had our son.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing that stint where I wasn't getting any money. We had a car, but we had to park the car because
mm-hmm.
it was just one income coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that car was just parked there just not working.
Yep.
When it was time enough for, when I started getting paid, when I became the morning show producer, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, cool. Now my son needs to go to daycare. We need a vehicle to get him to daycare, right? I'm driving the car. The brake failed.
Oh,
right? Like it just stopped, and I'm like, yo, what the heck?
So you're driving still?
Huh?
And you can't brake?
No, I can't brake.
Oh shit!
So I'm leaving work, right?
Winter.
And I'm driving. I'm like, yo, how am I gonna get home? I just did this, and I drove. And when I'm approaching the stoplight, I just take my foot off
and slow down.
And just slow down.
Just slow down. Allegedly, like, we don't know if that happened. Sure.
Yeah. But like, I'm getting
the rumor
home.
Goes,
right? Yeah. I'm getting home.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we had to try and get something. So I'm like, yo, I'm trying to rebuild my credit as well, because you know, student loan. You know what I mean?
Killer.
Right. Oh, yeah. So we went to this dealership. We got a car. They're like, yo, you have something. Let me see if we can work out a deal. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm like, I know I'm going to get the car to the dealership because it can't drive. Right. But we got to get some money for it. Push the car there. The guy's like, okay, cool. We'll give you $5 for the car. I'm like, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Just don't ask no questions.
Just don't ask any questions. Don't even go in there and do a test drive. Because it's over, right? And thankfully, he didn't. We get the car, and then, you know, we were able to get something. And then about a year after, my wife's driving the car crash.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I mean? So it was just like...
Damn. She was okay, after though.
Thankfully, it wasn't a serious injury.
Right.
People who listen to Mark and Jem, though, have a different story about that, right? Because I was at home sleeping. She got into the accident. Mm-hmm. She called me. I'm like, is everything okay? Okay, cool. And I went back to sleep. Right? So obviously, Mark and Jim, they ran with that story.
Right? Oh, yeah.
They ran with that story. And it was just a
you
big
thing. Left your wife stranded on the street in the middle of the night.
I don't know where that story started, but yeah, I remember
hearing
about
that. You know
what I
mean?
So, yes.
Belong to the streets.
Yeah, but you know, like, at the end of the day, man, like, it takes sacrifice, mm-hmm. and I had to, there are certain things that I know I couldn't do during certain times, because the situation was flipped when I started working and getting the money. Mm-hmm. My wife wasn't able to work because she was pregnant with our daughter,
right.
And she was high risk, right? So she had to stop working. So then I have to be like, yo, all right, cool. I want to get this thing, but can't get it because, you know, we need to put that aside for when the baby is born and stuff like that, you know? So...
It's rough, man.
Yeah,
it's rough.
You know, it's not easy. You know, it's not, I know social media in today's society make things. Everybody posts the best thing, right? That's why it's called highlights. You know what I mean? Because you show the highlights. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
that's why we have this pod, man.
Yeah,
that's
it's not easy, man.
You know, because we know there is a road. It's not a linear path. There's peaks. There's valleys, man. Mm-hmm. It's just how it goes. And the more we open up and speak about these things, the more we're going to inspire somebody who's at that valley right now. He was at the bottom and is trying to get up out of that. And just to know, say that, yo, I've been through it. You've been through it. Mm-hmm. There's other like-minded people who've been through it and live to tell the tale.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you mind asking a question.
No.
Yeah. I want to talk about, like, some of the good times at G, man, because, you know, Mark is a riot. Jem is a riot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Specs, man, full of energy. Yeah. Like, how much does he drink coffee or 5-hour energy? Or is it, you know, Ray and Nephew? Like, what is going on, man? This guy never has an off button. He's always top of top. Like, tell us the inside scoop about G, what's going on in there during your time.
So, first of all those guys, they're like family, right? Not like, they're family. Right. Mark and Jem, they're like my big brother and sister, right? We talk almost every day, you know what I mean? And Specs and Mark, they're kind of on the same wavelength where there's never an off button. They're just always going.
Right.
Specs gets his energy from messing with people, right? So, like,
prankster.
he's always pranking people. He's always just doing the most for no reason.
You have an example?
Again, the Pinedo thing.
Right.
But then because I'm a church dude, right, which people probably know that as well.
Yes.
Like, I'll walk in and I have my, I don't dress like the Scarborough man or the Toronto man's interest. You know what I mean? Right. I'm trying my best these days, but you know, I'm a Chinese by heart.
You got the hoodie on,
I'm shiny shoes there, but
you know,
you still got the church shoes there?
So I remember one time I walk in and I had on like a loafers or whatever with my jeans and.
I'm just picturing you with skinny jeans too.
Yeah, with the loafers, right? And right. Specs walked around the corner and see that. And then he was like, "Watch them out with the cockroach killer." Like, what the heck? Yeah, and that just went. And then between him and Mark, they're the type of person who the joke will be in the studio and they take the joke on air.
Run, right? Yeah.
And then the entire city know about it. And then I'll go to church or go to the supermarket and bump into someone, and they're looking to see if I have on a cockroach killer shoe or whatever. You know what I mean? Yo. And I'm like, yo, just. But on the plus side, the one, the reason why I never really stopped it, because I know it helped the show, right? It helped the branding of the shows.
Right.
And with the Pinedo thing, I didn't stop it either because I didn't want people to know who Perion was. So I could protect my family.
Okay.
Right? Because, like, you never know what's going on out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. But if someone went online and searched Pinedo, they wouldn't find Pinedo because I've never put that on my social media.
They'd
have to know me personally.
They just see the skinny jeans guy in the cartoon.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
So, What?
Go ahead. No, I wanted to ask about the guests that you've seen come through. I want to hear what you think is the best guest and what the worst guest.
There's so many, because one of the thing with G at the time was that it was known as like a hub, right? Because they were doing stuff that most of the other radio stations weren't doing. And so I'm saying, so like the artists feel as if they're at home whenever they get there. So we'd get artists that most radio stations wouldn't get. You know, one of my favorite I would say was it's between Luciano. Mortimer.
Ooh.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
And Capleton. Right?
Capleton
because
on there.
All right, so with Mortimer, at the time when he came in, it was pretty much, it was an unknown. He had that one song that went viral back home in Jamaica, and it has like millions of views and whatever. But for like the regulars, they didn't know who he was, right? And he came in, he did a live performance. This was like one of the times where we were in Jamaica broadcasting live.
Oh, okay.
He did a live performance there. Then he came on the show for the interview. And the depth of knowledge that he had was just mind-blowing. Like, he'll say the simplest things and you're like, yo, you never look at it in that way before. You know what I mean? With Capleton, he gave us like a history of the dancehall and reggae music. Like how some of the rhythms were created, how some of the stories were told and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And that was legendary. I probably could add Shabaranks and Movado, because that one actually, that went, they came in together.
I remember.
Right?
That
went viral.
I remember.
You know what I mean? And we weren't even expecting them because it was supposed to be for a show, and they were having issues with the promoter. So we're like, yo, we're done. The show is done. And then,
Rebel, right? Didn't you shoot that?
I won't.
You shot that,
won't
that
say,
show. Yeah, yeah.
I won't say. I won't say.
We know
what
happened.
What did you say earlier? Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So.
Right.
So they came in like after the show ended, right? And they called us and they're like, "Yo, they're gonna come." And apparently Shabba said that because he was doing all the promos by himself, he's not doing this one unless Movado show up. Then they came in and it was like game changing, because that interview was shown like on BBC, like clips from the interview were shown on BBC, and if you're familiar with On Stage, it was actually shown on that program as well.
That's dope,
right? Because again, that was like a bridging of the gap of the two eras of dancehall. Because you had Movado, which was new school, and then you have Shabba, like from back in the days, right? So it was like a bridging of the gap, and it was like amazing. Yeah, you know what I mean? So those will be the
those
ones
that, dope?
Yeah, and Luciano was a spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah, just yeah. super yeah. spiritual, you know what I mean?
So
yeah.
dope, man. Come yeah. on.
Tell me about the ones you didn't like.
I'm not going to call any name, all right? But
allegedly.
That's what this episode's called.
There
allegedly Pinedo met up with who?
There was an interview that was supposed to happen.
Okay. Musician? And
yes.
Okay.
And
a guy or girl?
A guy.
Okay.
Don't do the detective thing. Please. Better tell it. I know you're trying to figure it out.
And he was supposed to come to the studio.
Yeah.
And you've been to the morning show before. So, you know, once we have an artist coming, we're going to get food, everything. So we get it catered.
Okay.
We got everything prepared.
Yeah.
We're like promoting the thing the entire morning. Dude just never showed up. Right. Promoter didn't say anything. Nobody said anything. We're just sitting there like big idiots at the end of the day. Not knowing what to tell the listeners because it was supposed to be a big, big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it just never happened.
How did you get through that as a show?
It dampened the vibe for the rest of the morning because we're expecting him like right after the mix. So even the mix was curated to fit him coming
right,
in.
Right.
So it was like a full half hour of just his music.
Mm. What year was this?
What timeline?
What month? Allegedly. So what did you guys eat?
We just eat the food and shared up.
What kind of food was
like,
it?
Aki and saltfish.
Oh, so it was a Jamaican.
Yeah.
So it was a Jamaican man.
You're smart.
Aki and saltfish. It's too broad. You can't figure that one out.
Yeah, it still won't figure it out. But I won't call the artist name because of the crew that he's affiliated with.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, so
got you.
Peoples.
Got you.
Yeah. Or they're not good people that you don't want to know.
They're
problems.
Big people.
They're big people.
Big people.
Yeah, we don't want no problems.
Okay, say less. Say less.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
You have to move on the fly. That's what I mean. Like, that's what I want to find out. It's like, when that happens, and I'm not going to lie, in my younger days, I've done a few radio shows where my ass was just too lit and never pulled up. So I apologize to all the shows that I miss. I'm sorry.
I bet now that you're in this position.
But it's completely different now. And that's why I feel even worse about it. You know, when people take their time to have you a part of their show and for you not to show up. And all that music stuff happens all the time. You know, people don't respect each other's time, don't respect the fans' time. And they feel because they're on a level, they can make people wait. And anticipation is good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like Lauryn Hill, now it's a thing. Okay, we know she's not going to show up till 2 a.m., but we'll still get a good show. And that's her thing. She figured it out. But for the most part, it's like, it's not fair to your fans. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and the people who care about you.
It's respect,
to
man.
Do that.
It's a respect thing
a respect
for sure.
Thing, man. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of big moments, another big moment I heard was you had a interaction with Wyclef Jean.
Yeah. So. That's another piece that became a bit in the morning show. So it was Pan Am, Mark doing his Raptors thing. The Pan Am game is going on. And we had an interview booked with Wyclef. So also I've been the morning show producer. I was also the videographer. So we go on location. I would go there with my camera and stuff, set up to do the interview while Mark does the actual interview, right? Mark's looking at his time. He's like, yo, I need to go. Master T is doing the interview and... You know Master T is going in, like, doing his thing.
Yeah.
And Mark's like, yo, I really need to go. So then Mark's like, all right, P, here are the questions. You'll have to do this interview on your own. I'm like, no.
What? He just passed you his phone with the questions and was like...
The paper.
Paper, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hell no, that's not happening. He's like, yo, I'm going to bounce. So I was like, yo, Mark.
Who are you interviewing?
Wyclef Jean.
Wyclef.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right? Mm-hmm. And this was probably like my second year doing the morning show producing. So I didn't have that much experience going. I wasn't even on air yet.
Yeah.
Right?
You
so then.
Diamond plaque producer. So,
no big deal. No big deal.
So, one of the biggest albums of all time.
Exactly.
No pressure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I literally say, yo, if you're going to bounce, guy, I'm not doing this. I'm done. Like, just put my resignation in because I'm not doing it. So Master T realized what was happening. He wrapped it up and we did the interview. And then the Monday morning, Mark went on air to promo the interview.
Right.
and he played a Wyclef song.
Right.
And then he's like, yo, Jem, so I'm going to say something, and then you tell me who did this. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm sitting there on the boards.
Yeah.
And then he's like, mama. I'm like, what? And he told us, I'm like, come on, dude. And then even when I tried to explain why I was so nervous, whatever, never let it down.
Never.
And then Mark is this guy who years after, like, he'll randomly just send that picture in our WhatsApp group.
Oh,
and I just say, like, Mark.
Yo, these guys are cruel, yo.
But on the plus side, that situation did help me to walk out of my shell because a few years later I was on the red carpet at TIFF.
Right.
And my correspondent, she had a booking, so she wasn't able to come in to do the actual interviews. So she's like, yo, you're going to have to do double duties, filming and interviewing.
Right.
Why the show that we're doing the red carpet for the film starring Meryl Streep.
Greatest actress of all time.
Yeah. So, but
one of. Yeah.
Right. So,
can't get rid of credit.
Because of that situation with Wyclef Jean, I remembered it and I didn't want to fail
again. Right. Again, yeah.
You know. So I pulled it together. I went on. Took my phone out. Right. Started researching the film, researching the actors who were supposed to be showing up.
Right.
And I did it.
And you did
I have the video proof.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So
better. And yeah. Listen, man, I don't even realize you. I don't think you know what you said right there. I think a lot of people are going to take the gem away from that because, at least for me, because once you do something that's so scary, right? Mm-hmm. And you get through it, everything else after that never feels as scary, right? It never feels as hard. And even though, like, you know, there is a lot of pressure on it, it's okay to just do it and get through it because success is on the other side of fear. Yep. I say that a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like, to be successful, you have to go through the thing that you're most scared of, man. And you might fail. It might not work out. Or you might be the best in the world.
Yeah.
But the only way to know is to do it. So if you're scared, please just keep going and go through it. And I love how you put it, too. Yeah. Like, the next time, you know, you did it because you didn't want to look as bad. I'm sure it wasn't even that bad, but you didn't want none of the
Exactly.
You didn't want
Exactly.
So you went in there and you killed it, man.
Yeah.
Big up yourself, man. That's what's up.
And it's funny you said, because for me, I'm still working on that part.
Right.
I'm working on the fear because I hate public speaking.
Right.
Even this I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably
if
it wasn't because of you guys, and I'm comfortable talking to you now. You know what I mean? So I absolutely hate it. I sing at church every Sunday, most Sunday.
Right.
And I still hate going on the
stage.
Feel like that's
more terrifying than
I'm still afraid every Sunday.
Yeah. But you know what? That's a good thing. You know, because if you're not afraid of it, then you don't care.
Yeah.
If you're not afraid of it, it's not a higher purpose that you're meant to do it.
I agree.
So you have to be fearful of the things that you're meant to do and you're meant to try to get to the places you want to get to.
Facts.
Yo, I just draw some gems sometimes, you know? You need some, parent? You give me a call, bro.
Let's get the Mario coin going on in here, man. That's big.
Wanted to ask you about your time being an intern. How long did it take you until you finally got paid before I asked this question?
They still owe him money.
you say that.
Facts.
You stay there.
Could get into that too, you know.
Yeah. How long were you an intern until you got paid?
So I was an unpaid intern for, I think, 4 months.
Okay.
And then I was a paid intern for 3.
And paid interns, just to put it out there, you still don't get paid much.
Yeah.
So how long until you finally get a full-time position? And like a comfortable salary.
Was it during the producer role where, or late?
Full-time position, yes.
Okay.
Comfortable salary,
no. Okay, facts. Yeah. Not until you join CBC. Shout out
facts.
CBC.
Yeah. Facts.
I wanted, so for all those people out there, because a lot of people I hear don't want to do an internship because they feel like they need to get paid from day one.
Right.
And they won't take anything less than, you know, getting paid.
One word, entitlement.
Entitlement, you know, because a lot of times they don't feel like, you know, they're up to that par where it's like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I better get paid for it from day one. So what's your suggestion or advice for all those students out there that are looking at internship opportunities, but only thinking about getting paid?
So I would say the same thing, because I try to mentor people now, because I've been through it, right? So I try to help people on this journey.
Dope.
So for me, what I usually tell them, if you're in a situation where you can't do it without pay, do the internship and get a side hustle in the meantime. So you can have some kind of income coming in, but you're still getting that experience that you need to do what you need to do in your career.
Got it.
Right? Because at the end of the day, if you went to school for like 3-4 years to study media and you're at Starbucks, no disrespect to Starbucks, I love Starbucks, that's not what you went to school for.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So you do that to get your income while you're working out your career as an intern and still applying for other jobs outside of where you're doing the internship, because that's where I messed up to an extent, because I just saw G and I'm like, yo, I knew what it stood for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 3 places that I wanted to work when I was in school. G, Bell Media, CBC.
Wow.
Right? So I got into G as an intern. I'm like, yo, I'm laser focused. That's what I wanted to do. So I wasn't looking at anything else. I was looking at a side hustle.
Right.
Well, I was doing photography on the side.
Okay.
But I wasn't paying much attention to it as I should.
Right.
Or else I could be making more money.
Well, but your priorities were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'd say just get your side hustle. Get the knowledge that you need to get while you're still applying for jobs at other media houses so you could at least get it. Because most of these places won't hire you if you don't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Got they it. Won't. Right? Some of you might get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But for the most part, if you don't have the experience, you're not getting in.
Got
to work your way in there.
You have to work your way in.
If you want it bad enough. Man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great advice, yeah. man. I mean, that led you to where you are today, right? You're the senior producer of CBC's show, The Block.
Yes.
So let's that's a nice ring to it, though, right?
It does.
Yes.
It does.
So let's talk about that. How did you get that gig?
So, to be honest, I got into CBC through Archung.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Big him up.
Yeah.
Big
so big up to Archung.
Yes.
He had a role on Q, with Tom Parr.
Right.
And then the spot came for him to apply for the morning show producer job, with CBC Mornings.
Hmm.
And he applied for it. He got the job.
Right.
They needed someone to fill that spot. Right. They're like, yo, can you recommend someone? I was already in the process of applying for a job with CBC. I was getting interviewed and whatever. So my name was in the building.
Right.
He recommended me for the job. I got it. It was a temporary position because the person was supposed to be coming back. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to get in and just like look for something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I was trying to stay with the Q team for a bit.
So it was the same kind of strategy you had with
pretty much.
Just get in there, man.
And do what you need to do. You know, so I worked as hard as I possibly can. Like, they're like, yo, we need some repeat episodes prep. I can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Just do whatever I need to. So I can just get my name just be mentioned in other rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started applying for jobs. I remember I applied for this position with CBC Kids.
Mm-hmm.
The lady's like, I'm interviewing you just for one reason. I needed to meet you because your resume look impressive,
right.
But I know you don't want this job with CBC Kids.
So let's just go through this.
Let's just go through it or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Right. So then I saw the position for The Block pops up, and I looked at the qualifications and the requirements. I'm like, that's what I'm doing at Now Flow, right? That's what I've been doing. So I should be able to do this. I should be able to get this job or whatever, right? So. Right. I applied. I'm never one to be cocky, which is why sometimes I lose out on opportunities as well, because there'll be stuff that pops up and I'm like, all right, cool. If it's for me, it will be for me. Oh. And then someone just swoop in and take it. And
yeah,
I'm like, well,
yeah.
Maybe it wasn't for me.
Yeah. Well,
right? Maybe it's not meant to be, but.
So I applied and I waited, right? It was a long wait, bro.
Probably
3 months. Mm. I applied like in July and I got the call back in September.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you probably kind of gave up on it, right?
Mm.
I gave up, but in the being a man of faith, I was I was,
you were singing at church real loud.
Yeah.
Loud.
How do you do it?
Right? Fasted, all these things, yo, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, yo, I remember at the top of the year, I said, I prayed and I'm like, yo, God, no disrespect to anybody at Flow. Mm-hmm. Love them all. Mm-hmm. Right? But I'm like, I feel as if I reached my limit and I need to get
hit
some more challenging.
Right? Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I don't want to be here at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Right? And I signed my contract with The Block in October that year. Mm. Right? So I literally got out right before the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as much as like my talent and everything was what got me there, I also have to give thanks to God as well, because I remember I prayed that prayer and the prayer came through.
You
see what I'm saying?
Shout out. So, shout out Faith.
Big up.
Exactly.
Why is your faith so important?
It's all I know, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I remember, as I said earlier, my mom didn't really have much, but she had God.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And she made sure that we went to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a choice in the matter. Right? We just had to
like
go.
Like a lot of kids. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, I started to develop my own relationship with God. I know who He is. Obviously, people who's been a part of church, know there could be politics in church just the same.
Like,
things that it just doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So once you get in there, you know God for yourself, and you take what's for you.
Yes.
You just go with that. And for me, like, I know that I see my mom praying, I see things happen.
Right.
Right? I see my grandma praying, I see things happen.
Right.
Right? So I had no other option but to trust that same God that they were trusting.
Right. And you've
seen
him
I've seen him come through for me. Mm-hmm. Right. And I just had to just make sure that everything I do, yo, like, I put it in God's hand, because again, He's a person that controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, He controls everything. So
for sure.
We have no control over nothing that's going on in this earth.
We're very small, you know what I mean? Man. We're very small
very
in a very big world.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure. You
know? So
I relate to that.
Yeah.
The rumor is that the transition from G to Flow was a little rocky,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. The people were confused. We weren't sure what's going on.
Yeah.
As somebody who was working during that time, very close to everyone going on there, what was your perspective of what happened? What went down?
All right. So when I first heard that it was going to happen, I was like, oh, wow. But I couldn't say anything because I had to sign a non-disclosure, right?
Okay.
So I couldn't say anything. But I was like, damn, because I'm looking at both culture,
right?
Flow 93.5,
yep.
G98.7,
yep.
Right? They're two different things, but they both stood for something in the city. You see what I'm saying? And them joining together to create one station wasn't a win, at least for me, because G wasn't able to fulfill the needs of the Flow 93.5 listeners, while the Flow 93.5 listeners weren't necessarily going to enjoy what G was doing, right? So, and that became very obvious, real quick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we're doing our programming and everything, and we're trying to make sure we're meeting the needs of both audience. But then the young cats that don't want to hear like the soca and the reggae,
right,
that want to hear the trap and hip hop, mm-hmm. they're coming and they're hearing like an overload of soca, reggae, and Afrobeat. Yeah. And they're like, yo, this is not Flow. We need our Flow. And then not to mention, the signal was not
as clear
at 93.5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was a struggle for all of us that were working there, because we were like, yo, it's a weird situation, right?
Right?
Because we're trying to do our job. We're getting text messages and tweets cussing us out, right? Saying how much we suck.
Mm.
And stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, me at that time, I was a music director plus the morning show producer, right? So I'm
so you feel kind of responsible too, no?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right. Because I'm putting the music in, and as far as I know, the music is dope,
right? Yeah. Right.
But it wasn't that much trap. Mm-hmm. And then when we started playing the more hip hop and trap, not as much as they were getting at 93.5,
right.
The old school fans from 98.7 were like, well, all these hip hop things going from or whatever. Right. So there was no win for nobody.
Nobody.
You know what I'm saying? And I think
seemed like a lose lose situation.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, we didn't need to join the two brands, right?
Mm-hmm. It could have
been separate because that's you saying that there's no need for two radio stations for black music.
Right. Yeah. Like you can't have Power and Hot 97 in Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's not the case, right? Both stations are needed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And black music has become so diverse where there's no reason why all that music should just be one place.
It can't be one box, man.
It can't be one place.
It's not
one
box. That is very valid.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's how we felt. I don't know, like the crew that's there right now, I don't know how they're navigating things right now because obviously I'm not there.
Right.
But I know when we just started, it was tough. Mm-hmm. It was tough because we were getting the tweets and stuff from people saying, yo, get off the radio. I remember even the morning show, shout out to Blake and Peter, Peter Cash.
Yeah.
Like, we were getting their fans saying, yo, get these people off our radio and whatever. And we're like, yo, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then our morning show at the time as well, because Mark and Jem didn't make it over to the Flow 98.7.
That's right.
So that morning show was also getting the beating from the Mark and Jem fan, right?
Who missed Mark and Jem.
Missed Mark and Jem.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And then me being the person who was a part of Mark and Jem, not part of this new place. Like, I feel as if people were also expecting me to take a side. I'm like, yo, I have to do my job.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I have to do my job. And I tried. Never really worked.
But like you said it, man, that was a lose-lose situation because you're going to lose fanship no matter where you go. Yeah. There's only 24 hours in a day. There's only so many shows. And to combine all of that black music into one station, you know, like even hip-hop itself had to take a step back and say, okay, Lil Uzi Vert is not like Nas, but that doesn't make him any less hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, trap is trap, hip-hop is hip-hop, R&B is R&B, soca is soca, that's all. It's all, it is black music, but it deserves its own space, yo, to breathe and live. And when you combine everything, it feels like a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It
you
was.
Did the best you could, man. That's all you could ask for.
Yeah. I know I'm at the block.
Now you're at the block.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, man. I mean, shout out to the patience that you had and your ability. I mean, I feel like, you might have not been cocky, but I also test that you don't have an ego, which is actually a good thing. So I think it also helps you to where you are today. You know, I'm sure if you were maybe cocky and a little egotistical, maybe you wouldn't have had such great relationships with all these people. And, you know, like Chung hooked you up with, you know, in your entrance at CBC.
You think you have an ego?
Me? No.
Okay. Just making sure. No. It's like, well, you know, but I'm at the club. Like,
it's better when someone tell you don't have an ego.
I got no ego.
You're going to take this clip, cut it out, give it to Denise and be like, check it out. I told you. I want to talk about The Block, you know?
Yes.
Because that's an important show.
Show.
It's a big show and especially it's important for the culture, for the community, for black music in general. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for those that don't know what it is out there, you know, if you give us like a little Cole's notes, like what does it mean for the culture in Canada?
So, again, I passed through the Flow on the G987. Now, we did that on a local scale.
Yeah.
Right, what The Block is doing right now is pretty much the same thing, but on a broader scale, because this is a national show, right? And we're not like pigeonholed into like just playing hip hop, R&B. We play, once you're a black artist and you do music, you have an opportunity to be on The Block, right? That's so awesome. You could be a jazz artist, you could be an opera singer, right? Classical singers, right? Hip hop, R&B, reggae, soca.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Once you're a black artist and you do music, The Block is for you.
Right? I love that, man. So, and listening to the show too, it's so great because you get that diversity of artists, right?
Like it's two shows sound the same, which is what I like.
Yeah.
Right? You'll listen Monday because Monday we do like the new music and stuff. So if you're like an indie artist coming up and you want your stuff on, can I put the email out there?
Of course.
Yeah. So the email is putmeontheblock@cbc.ca. So if you're an indie artist and you want to get your music on, that's where you send your music. And we take our time, we go through it, and and we make sure that you have a spot. Even if it doesn't go, put me on the block at cbc.ca.
Brought to you by Jenny on the Block.
So even like for us, even if we don't put you in like general rotation, we still make sure that you get a play.
That's amazing.
A few spins or whatever. Something. You know, so.
That means the world for independent artists, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. You know what I mean? So it's been fun. Like, it's been 3 months since I've been there, and it's been really fun because, again, the team is also a good shout out to Angeline and JJ. Yep. Like, they've been holding it down before I got there, and I walked in there, and I just feel as if their family just the same.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Which is always good. You don't want to walk into a new place, and you're like, yo, what's happening here? This feels weird, you know?
Yeah. I have my, like, reservations about CBC just through history, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I've been watching CBC and listening to it and been a part of it for years, but it always felt like it was missing a show like The Block.
Yes.
Or if they do have it, it's not getting the promo it needs, deserves, whatever, what have you, you know? So as a man now who's working with them and on the inside, how do you feel they're going about Black urban hip hop music now?
So for the most part, from what I've seen from I've been there, like CBC Music, because we need to get that.
It's a very large crown corporation.
There are two radios, right? You got CBC Radio One, and CBC Radio Two, which is now CBC Music. That's where I'm at. Right. So whenever we're doing anything, diversity plays a big part in anything we're doing.
Right.
Not just The Block, but just CBC Music in general.
Right.
When we have our meetings, we have to make sure that we're playing enough Black artists, we're playing enough Indigenous artists.
Right.
We have our quota that we have to meet.
That's dope.
Right. Female artists as well. Mm. Right. And people from the LGBTQ plus community as well. Like, we have to make sure that every single thing gets touched.
Equal opportunity, right?
Equal
all across
opportunities for everybody.
That's great.
You know what I mean? And they, CBC Music makes a point of doing that right through. Right.
Amazing.
I've seen that since I've been there, because just like you, being Black people, we see, we're outside, we're looking in, we have our reservation.
Yes.
But then when you walk in there, and now that I'm a part of it and I'm seeing what they're doing, I get it.
Okay.
And I see what they're doing.
I like that.
Right. So, yeah.
That's amazing, man.
That's great, man. That's great to know.
Yeah, it's great to hear that Crown Corporation like that is doing things like that, you know? And
now we got Perion in there, so things have to go right. You know?
And Archung. And Archung.
And Archung. And Archung. Archung. Yeah. Archung. Can't forget about Archung. Saw an Archung on the TD Bank commercial the other day. Every time I see it, I have to laugh, man. He's so good, man. I love that guy.
Yeah. So Perion, I mean, this is the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast, and I want to know, well, I think the people want to know also, what is next for Perion? You know, you're keep elevating in your career. You're the senior producer now of a great radio show that's important for the culture. What do we, are we expecting Perion at 7 a.m., you know, at 93.5 presenting to us? Are we seeing him on TV? Like, what's the dream?
So in terms of radio, I just got into this position, so I don't want to be like, yo, I'm trying to see what's the next.
Okay, yeah. No, we're going to. He loves CBC. He loves where he's at, and he's very grateful.
Yeah. I am, you know, but like, I'd be lying if I'd say that because I used to host a gospel show when I was at G/Flow.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that kind of take me out of my comfort zone a bit.
Right.
And just as though I enjoy doing this for the local artists, I feel as if there's not a place for the gospel artists in Toronto.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
So that's something that I'd love to see. Like, my friends are pushing me to do a podcast.
Okay.
Like, doing, for promoting the gospel artists and stuff like that.
Dope.
Because just, you know me, Rochester. Like, I try to connect with every artist and just be as open and available as possible.
Real things, yeah.
Right. So I do the same thing for them, but there's no avenue for me to put anything on. Right. Since I've been at CBC, I try to put on a few of them on The Block as well, because The Block also play gospel.
Right.
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 So I try to do that as well.
But you feel like you can only do so much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if anything in my immediate future, personally, that it was for me to carve out something for that community.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's funny you mentioned acting, because I'd also like to get into like some commercial stuff as
well. Okay, which is what I'm trying to.
Hey, Chung's on TED. You might be on CIBC.
So, hopefully, I'm looking to see if I can start getting some like an agent by summer. And see what happens.
Now, hopefully, you will get an agent by summer.
Yes.
Let's speak it into existence, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing, bro.
Love it. I love it.
Juicy, wanna?
And he's going in like he's shy, like
he's checking his nails, like you know.
No, I'm going for the Oscar next year.
You know.
So this is the DDHD podcast. Yeah. Dreams don't have deadlines. And before I ask my next question, and we enter the home stretch, I just want to thank everybody honestly for listening to this. If you got any gems from this, if you love what Perion's doing, we're gonna leave the link so you can check him out, and just show us some love. That's all we ask, man. Take those jewels and spread them out, man, to everybody who you feel might need it. If their faith is questioned, if they're at a bad place in their life, if they're at that crossroads and they need to get out of it, dreams will have deadlines. Take these gems and run with them, please. And saying that, we know there's somebody out there right now who doesn't feel like they can do what they're gonna do. They've had aspirations and they feel like maybe they're giving up. So mm-hmm. what would you tell that person to tell them that dreams have deadlines and it can keep going? Mm. And when you do that, look at that camera right there.
Okay, so I know sometimes it's easier said than done, right? But I'm just speaking from my own personal experience that sometimes it's usually when things seem as if it's going crazy off rail. That's usually when you need to hold on just a bit longer. And if you're someone of faith, make sure you stay plugged in, right? Pray, find someone who you can talk to, who could give you advice. Like whatever industry you're trying to get into, there's always someone who has gone through that process before, right? So don't be like me, because when I started, I was really like, I stay to myself for the most part, but if I had reached out and talked to more people, I'd probably navigate this space a bit easier, but I never did that. But thankfully, again, I had people like Mark and Jem Specs who were readily there that I could talk to and get advice, because they've been doing it from time. So find someone you could talk to that's been on that road before. Again, if you're someone of faith, pray, right? Seek God for answers. And just as cliche as it sounds, don't give up. Keep pushing. If you need to do multiple things to get to where you're going, just do that, because at the end of the day, you're the only person that can stop your dream, right? If you don't see the importance of pushing for your dream, no one will, right? You have to push for yourself, and then they'll believe you.
That right? part.
Facts.
That
yeah,
part.
You have to push yourself for people to believe you.
Love it.
Facts, yeah. man. If there was love rain it. And cloudy, it became like, I saw a rain of sunshine just go through right now with the sun being, you know? That's amazing, man. Thank you so much for that advice. Thank you for your time. And
no
thank
worries.
You for sharing your journey, man. It seems very exciting. We're looking forward to see where it takes us, mm-hmm. Where it takes you. And, you know, we hope to connect in the future, man.
I think you said it right first. It takes us. Because wherever I'm going, I'm bringing everybody.
Hey! You know?
Yeah, I mean, so
brought to you by former meteorologist, Perry Ambrose. No, thank you, man. That's blessed, bro. So when you're at the Oscars, I'm looking forward to
yes,
getting
sir.
That autograph so I can have a retirement fund in the future.
Yes, sir.
But thanks again, man. No, but thank you so much. This has been the DDHD podcast. My name is Marwan Menomini.
Juice.
And we got
Perion.
Let's go. That's a wrap.
Work hard and I handle my business. Look up in the sky, whole squad, let's get it. No limit, no.